In this segment, we're going to spend some time examining elements of the Charleston church shooting massacre. Proof of the severity of this act of evil can be found in the fact that after all this time, the pain of that night still resonates very loudly all around the world, not just in the country. It's caused some to call for actions. It's compelled others to seek change. And, yeah, it's even provoked, I think, too many, at least, of idiocy. Joining us now is someone who certainly knows what it's like to have violence of this level invade her life. She has endured tragedy, has worked to bring forth a voice of hope, along with being the director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life. She's also author of the book King Rules, 10 Truths for You, Your Family, and Our Nation to Prosper. We say good morning to Dr. Alveda King. Good morning, Dr. King.
Well, good morning to you and your listening audience. I'm glad to greet everybody. It's wonderful. Thank you.
And I'm certainly glad to have your voice as part of this discussion. PriestsForLife.org and KingRulesBook.com are two sites for Dr. King. We learn more about her work and her philosophy on life. What were your... When you heard about this horrible massacre that took place in Charleston, what were your first thoughts?
My very first thoughts were when I heard about Charleston at about 4 o'clock in the morning after the incident, I was like, oh, no, not again. And the reason I said that, my grandmother in 1974, Mrs. Alberta Williams King, the mother of my dad, Reverend A.D. King, my uncle M.L., Martin Luther King Jr., and my aunt Christine, had been shot playing the organ in Ebenezer Baptist Church on Sunday morning. And so I was like, oh, no. And so I didn't think black and white because Chenault, the man who killed my grandmother, was an African-American man. And so I said, oh, no, not again. And so then it turns out that Roof, Mr. Roof, was racist who wanted to start a race war and went into a black church as a Caucasian man on purpose to try to start a race war. And that only compounded the issue. And so those were my initial thoughts. And I was like, oh, God, help us. And so that was my first reaction.
One of the amazing elements of the story is that the shooter, I hesitate using his name because a lot more often than not, that's exactly what these demons on earth want. But the shooter sat there during the Bible class and prayed with his soon-to-be victims. And he later said, you know, they were so nice to me, and I was feeling so much love from them, I almost decided not to do it.
Yeah, yeah. But whatever the demons that was driving him, those demons that were driving him, caused him to just kind of go ahead and do it, and that is terribly unfortunate. But what's beautiful about all of this, and because I read something the other day, and it says, all eyes are on the Supreme Court pending the decision on the homosexual marriage issue. I say, my eyes are on Jesus Christ, and all eyes are on Charleston, all eyes are on Ferguson, all eyes are on Baltimore. No, our eyes need to be on the source and the answer that can stop all this, and it can only be stopped through prayer. That's why, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so, as we pray, repent, we have to repent for racism. We have to repent for reverse racism. So if, say, people want to be angry at white people for having had slaves and everything, what about blacks who hate white people, you see? So we can't have hatred. My uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King, said hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. That's why it was such an amazing miracle in Charleston when the governor says we have to, you know, repent, we have to give ourselves permission to grieve, we have to give ourselves permission to heal. And that's when she said the flag needed to come down. And now Alabama, of course, the governor just said take the flag down. But what's so important about that, we have to look at the pain and the suffering of those who still hold on to the flag. Almost like my mother, she was stung by a bee many years ago.
Yeah.
That bee is still in a jar of alcohol in her house. Somebody might have a tooth that they pull, and say a little child hangs on to that tooth no matter what, but as soon as the tooth is out, the new tooth can grow. So some things have to be removed so we can move forward and grow and not hold on to the pain.
Talking with Dr. Alveda King. She is the director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life, author of the book King Rules, 10 Truths for You, Your Family, and Our Nation to Prosper. PriestsForLife.org, KingRulesBook.com. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And Dr. King, haven't we seen God do his work through the families of the victims in Charleston with the way that they professed their forgiveness for the shooter?
Well, Pastor Pinckney's his funeral is today. And it's beautiful. You can see in his expressions of his own life as a senator, as a pastor, as a father, as a leader. You can see in his own life how he taught people to love. He taught people the word of God. And because he did that, they are able to say, we love you, we forgive you, and saying that to the shooter. I remember when Chenault shot my grandmother in 74. My granddad went to the jail. He didn't say, don't put him in jail. That doesn't mean I love you, I forgive you. It doesn't mean you don't have to pay the penalty for what you've done. But he said, son, you've taken away the most precious thing that I had on earth, my honey bunch, my wife. He said, but I forgive you. He told my brother, when my brother apprehended him immediately after the shooting, my brother, Reverend Derek King, was there, and he tried to beat him to death. And granddaddy said, don't kill him, you'll have to forgive him. And that's why I say even arguments on gun control, well, what about choke control, poison control, bomb you control, stab you control? You're going to have to deal with the human heart. So you may try to take away all the weapons, but if a person has hate in his or her heart, he's going to find a way. So we need to deal with the human heart.
Well, that's a thing that concerns me because you mentioned the Confederate flag. Hillary Clinton, when she was in Ferguson a few days ago, the mantra out of Charleston has been Black Lives Matter, and she stressed All Lives Matter, and she's getting heat from certain sectors from deviating from the Black Lives Matter mantra. My concern is we're going to focus on, for lack of a better phrase, the superficial. Okay, I made sure the Confederate flag went down. Okay, I've done something. I can go home now. That's not going to solve the problem, is it?
Well, we were in Selma, when I say we, with Katherine Davis, the Selma Project, and we were marching saying that black women matter and that as a target of the abortion industry because of vulnerability, skin color, money, more black babies are aborted. You know, if you look at being the smaller population with higher numbers of the abortion. And so we were saying that black women are being hurt. So we said black women matter. Black babies matter, black lives matter, because all lives matter. And so I think Mrs. Clinton, when she said all lives matter, she should have said, certainly, black lives matter, all lives matter. And that's what I say when I say black lives matter, and black lives do matter, all lives matter.
And it was your uncle who, I am a quote-aholic or quote-collector, whatever you wish to call it, we must learn to live together as brothers and sisters or perish as fools.
Absolutely. And by doing that, now he said his brothers, I added sisters in
right.
The 21st century.
Yes.
But it's so true because Acts 17:26 says that God made all people of one blood. That makes us brothers and sisters from the beginning. And so we have to know that. And all these various family feuds that have occurred across the ages, even the religious wars, because, you know, Abraham with Israel, his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, for example. But all of the fights, all of the battles can be traced back to a misunderstanding of the human flesh and the human soul, the soul being the will, mind, and emotions, that God desires a family. So we step into the human spirit and the human spirit reaching out to the spirit of the living God, and we find out how to love and we find out how to forgive.
Having our time with Dr. Elvita King. She is the Director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life and author of the book King Rules, 10 Truths for You, Your Family, and Our Nation to Prosper, here on Issues and Ideas. Mentioned how the act of forgiveness was God working through the families of the victims. Does God also seek to work through all of us when we see someone approaching that red line, that act of danger? Because we always hear these tragedies happen and the circle of family and friends saying, yeah, we kind of knew that Sydney was going a little crazy. Maybe we should have done something. Instead of being reactive to it, does God seek for us to be proactive and say to Sydney, hey, Sid, you're going down the wrong road there. Let's sit down and talk about this a little bit.
I'm going to answer this as this will be my last question. I'm sorry, I better have to leave you
pretty
quickly. But there's a scripture in Galatians 4, have I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth. When we begin to tell the truth, part of that truth will answer your question. When we see something happening and do nothing, there's a saying that is out there, bad things happen when good people do nothing. And so if we just all would do our part, whether it's saying something, doing something, donating to a program, going out holding a sign, making sure we vote for people who will uphold God's principles. There are so many things that we can all do. So if we'll just do our part, none of us will have to do everything. And God, hearing our prayers, will answer and things are becoming better. So as I say, don't keep your eyes on the news. You can watch us on the news. I'm a Fox News contributor. You can catch me on TV sometimes. But don't keep your eyes on us. Find out, be informed, but look up towards heaven.
Dr. Alveda King, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you. God bless you.